About 300 people attended the Forum Against Police Violence and Impunity, a weekend-long event that took place from January 29th to 31st in the Montreal neighborhood of Park Extension. Organizers adopted a strict no-police policy for the event, saying that people victimized by police violence should feel safe speaking out without fear of reprisal.
The CKUT News Collective was there to document the forum. We reviewed hours of audio, but for this feature, we only had time for selected highlights. We hope that, in the spirit of the event, it brings together the powerful and often poignant voices of those dealing with and organizing against police violence on the island of Montreal.
In the gymnasium of the Park X Community Center, family members of individuals killed by police sat together and told their stories. Here's Bridget Tolley, an Algonquin woman from Kitigan, Zibi, Anishinaabeg.
I am the daughter of Mrs. Gladys Tolley, who was fatally struck on Highway 105 by a patrol car driven by two Sûreté du Québec police officers on October 5, 2001.
She explained to the audience that the inquiry into her mother's death was conducted by the brother of the officer who had been driving the patrol car that struck Gladys.
His brother made a report and said, the first factor of my mom's death was negligence of a pedestrian, and second factor was alcohol. This is the brother of the cop that just hit my mother. Only an investigation fully independent of the police can satisfy that there is no bias in favor of the authorities and to ensure that the truth comes out.
That was Bridget Tolley. Najla Benes is one of the sisters of Mohamed Anis Benes. At age 25, Mohamed was killed by Montreal police shortly after he left a mosque after morning prayers in December 2005. Police say they were acting in self-defense after he threatened them with a kitchen knife, but his family says that this explanation is far-fetched.
Que mon frère qui normalement va se tasser de la rue parce qu'il y a des fourmis pour ne pas les écraser, qu'il aurait abattu.
She says, my brother, who would normally go out of his way to avoid stepping on ants on the sidewalk, could he have attacked a police officer? That doesn't fit at all with his character. So to find out what happened, we have demanded a public inquest into his death, and 3 years later, the coroner finally ordered such a public inquest. But the police fraternity made a plan to block it, insisting that there's no reason to have a public inquest and that it's just a waste of money.
Pour dire qu'il n'y a pas lieu d'avoir une enquête publique et que ce n'est que du gaspillage des fonds.
On Sunday at a panel called The Gender of Police Violence, we heard about how sex workers are treated as second-class citizens in the legal system that allows violence against sex workers to go unchecked. Here is Ana Louise Crego, who coordinates Outreach for Stella, a group run by and for sex workers, and fights to decriminalize their lifestyles.
In the court process, women are attacked, told, you're just a whore, you wanted it, you can't say no, prostitutes can't get raped. And so at a number of the trials this year, we stood outside and asked for support of other people to stand outside and let the women know that we're outside, and we believe them.
Jessica Yee, founder and executive director of the Native Youth Sexual Health Network, talked about the violence of a law enforcement system rooted in colonialism.
The recognition of the laws that police are supposed to uphold in justice systems as colonial imposed laws, I think lends itself to an interesting discussion about the types of justice that we want to see. I think for us as Aboriginal people, we need to know the Indian Act inside and out, but we also need to know that so long as we're still living in this colonized imposed state, that we are going to need allyship and support and all peoples as part of this struggle.
That was Jessica Yee.
So how can people defend themselves from police violence and harassment? Well, to start with, you need to know your rights.
Cops are going to ask you lots of questions, they're going to tell you lots of things, and you'll want to respond, you know? And even without thinking about it, some of your responses might incriminate you. If you can, remain silent. Under arrest, you're only required to give police your full name, your date of birth, and your current address.
That was Marique from the Collective Opposed to Police Brutality. She led workshops over the weekend about how to deal with the police. The weekend ended with a hip-hop concert featuring groups including Micro Almay, So we end this report with one of their tracks entitled Montreal.
Réveille-toi guerrier, sommeillant dans l'ombre, observe une pause. Puis regarde autour de toi, aussi loin que ton regard se pose. Il te faudra agir, ne dépose pas les armes, il n'est jamais trop tard. T'endures dans la ville, puis ton quartier difficile. Aucune échappatoire, chevauchant la mort dans une coupe fragile vers l'espoir. Ou ailleurs, au coin d'une rue, attendant le destin. Je te dirai en Montréal, rien n'est dur, sauf de vivre. Montréal, rien n'est dur, sauf de vivre. Je te dirai en Montréal, rien n'est dur, sauf de vivre. Rien n'est dur, sauf de vivre. Une porte s'ouvre, leurs armes foulent leur noirceur. En elles s'écoulent, drogue et liqueur. De rancœur saoule, l'esprit se décolle. Dormir sous la pluie, oublier l'école, se nourrir d'alcool. Et les gens évitent leur visage, ils évitent leurs yeux. Car au Dieu, la ville se meurt, ils ne savent pas pourquoi. Va, préviens tes frères et tes sœurs. Qu'il faudra que dans leur cœur émane la grandeur. Le sort en est jeté, à présent plus de liberté. Rien que des mensages frappés sur des pièces de monnaie. Mais on n'est pas sans ignorer que partage et compassion de ce que Dieu a rejeté. Je te dirai en Montréal, rien n'est dur, sauf de vivre. Montréal, rien n'est dur, sauf de vivre. Je te dirai en Montréal, rien n'est dur, sauf de vivre.